3. We yakketed back townwards, my brothers, but just outside, not far from what they call the Industrial Canal, we vidded the fuel needle had, like, collapsed, like our own ha-ha-ha needles had, and the auto was coughing. Not to worry over much, though, because a rail station kept flashing blue, on-off, on-off, just near. The point was whether to leave the auto to be sobberatted by the Rozzies, or, us feeling like in a hate and murder mood, to give it a fair toll-chock into the starry waters for a nice, heavy, loud plesk before the death of the evening. This latter we decided on, so we got out and, the brakes off, all four toll-chocked it to the edge of the filthy water that was like treacle mixed with human hull products, then one good horror show toll shock and in she went. We had to dash back for fear of the filth splashing on our platties, but splush and glulp she went, down and lovely. "Farewell, old droog," called Georgie, and Dim obliged with a clowny great guff. Then we made for the station to ride the one stop to centre, as the middle of the town was called. We paid our fares nice and polite and waited gentlemanly and quiet on the platform, old Dim fillying with the slot machines, his carmans being full of small Malenki coin and ready, if need be, to distribute chalk bars to the poor and starving, though there was none such about. And then the old Espresso Rapido came lumbering in and we climbed aboard, the train looking to be near empty. To pass the 3-minute ride, we fillied about with what they called the upholstery, doing some nice horror show tearing out of the seat's guts, and old Dim chaining the Ocno till the glass cracked and sparkled in the winter air. But we were all feeling that bit shagged and fagged and fashed, it having been an evening of some small energy expenditure, my brothers, only Dim, like the clowny animal he was, full of the joys of, but looking all dirtied over and too much von of sweat on him, which was one thing I had against old Dim. We got out at centre and walked slow back to the Corova milk bar, all going, a Malenki bit, and exhibiting to moon and star and lamplight our back fillings, because we were still only growing Malchiks and had school in the daytime. And when we got into Corova, we found it fuller than when we'd left earlier on. But the Chelovic that had been burbling away in the land on white and synth mesk or whatever was still on at it, going, "Urchins of dead cast in the way, ho, hey, glil platonic time weatherborn." It was probable that this was his third or fourth lot that evening, for he had that pale, inhuman look, like he'd become a thing, and like his litzo was really a piece of chalk carved. Really, if he wanted to spend so long in the land, he should have gone into one of the private cubies at the back, and not stayed in the big mess, though, because here some of the Malchickies would filly about with him a Malenki bit, though not too much, because they were powerful bruise boys hidden away in the old Corova who could stop any riot. Anyway, Dim squeezed in next to this feck, and with his big clown's yawp that showed his hanging grape, he stabbed this veck's foot with his own large filthy sabog. But the veck, my brothers, heard naught, being now all above the body. It was Nadsats mostly, milking and coking and fillying around. Nadsats were what we used to call the teens, but there were a few of the more starry ones, vecks and chinas alike, but not of the bourgeois, never them, laughing and govereating at the bar. You could tell from their barberings and loose platties, big stringy sweaters mostly, that they'd been on rehearsal at the TV studios round the corner. The Dvotchkas among them had these very lively litzos and big wide rots, very red, showing a lot of teeth and smacking away and not caring about the wicked world one whit. And then the disc on the stereo twanged off, and out, it was Johnny Zivago, a rusky Koshka, singing only every other day, and in the like interval, the short silence before the next one came on, one of these dvotchkas, very fair and with a big smiling red rot and in her late 30s, I'd say, suddenly came with a burst of singing, only a bar and a half, and as though she was like giving an example of something they'd all been gover-eating about, and it was like for a moment, oh my brothers, some great bird had flown into the milk bar, and I felt all the little malenki hairs on my plot standing endwise, and the shivers crawling up like slow malenki lizards and then down again, because I knew what she sang. It was from an opera by Friedrich Gitterfenster called Das Bettzeug, and it was the bit where she's snuffing it with her throat cut, and the slovos are better like this, maybe. Anyway, I shivered. But old Dim, as soon as he'd slooshied this dollop of song like a lomtick of red-hot meat plonked on your plate, let off one of his vulgarities, which in this case was a lip trump followed by a dog howl, followed by two fingers pronging twice in the air, followed by a clowny guffaw. I felt myself all of a fever and like drowning in red-hot blood, slooshing and vidying Dim's vulgarity, and I said, "Bastard! Filthy, drooling, mannerless bastard!" Then I leaned across Georgie, who was between me and horrible Dim, and fisted Dim's scorry on the rot. Dim looked very surprised, his rot open, wiping the crovy off his goober with his rook, and in turn looking surprised at the red flowing crovy and at me. "What for did you do that for?" he said in his ignorant way. Not many vidded what I'd done, and those that vidded cared not. The stereo was on again and was playing very sick electronic guitar vesh. I said, "For being a bastard with no manners and not the duke of an idea how to comport yourself public-wise, oh my brother." Dim put on the hound and horny look of evil, saying, "I don't like you should do what you done then, and I'm not your brother no more, and wouldn't want to be." He'd taken a big snotty tashtook from his pocket and was mopping the red flow, puzzled, keeping on looking at it, frowning, as if he thought that blood was for other vex and not for him. It was like he was singing blood to make up for his vulgarity when that dvotchka was singing music. But that dvotchka was smacking away, ha-ha-ha, now with her droogs at the bar, her red rot working and her zoobies ashine, not having noticed Dim's filthy vulgarity. It was me, really, Dim had done wrong to. I said, "If you don't like this, and you wouldn't want that, then you know what to do, little brother." Georgie said, in a sharp way that made me look, "All right, let's not be starting." "That's clean up to Dim," I said. "Dim can't go on all his jeezney being as a little child." And I looked sharp at Georgie. Dim said, and the red crovy was easing its flow now, "What natural right does he have to think he can give the orders and toll-chock me whenever he likes? Yarbles is what I say to him, and I chain his glasses out soon as look." "Watch that," I said, as quiet as I could, with the stereo bouncing all over the walls and ceiling, and the in-the-land vet beyond Dim getting loud now with his "spark nearer, optoptimate." I said, "Do watch that, O Dim, if to continue to be on live thou dost wish." "Yarbles," said Dim, sneering, "great bolshy yar blockos to you. What you done then, you had no right. I'll meet you with chain or noz or britva any time, not having you aiming toll chocks at me reasonless. It stands to reason, I won't have it." "And noz scrap any time you say," I snarled back. Pete said, "Oh, now, don't, both of you, malchicks, droogs, aren't we? It isn't right droogs should behave this wise. See, there are some loose-lipped malchicks over there smacking at us, leering like. We mustn't let ourselves down." "Dim," I said, "has got to learn his place, right?" "Wait," said Georgie. "What's all this about place?" This is the first I ever hear about Ludi's learning their place. Pete said,
If the truth is known, Alex, you shouldn't have given old Dim that uncalled-for toll chop. I'll say it once and no more. I'll say it with all respect, but if it had been me you'd given it to, you'd have had to answer. I say no more.
And he downed his litso in his milk. I could feel myself getting all razz-drazz inside, but I tried to cover it, saying, calm, there has to be a leader. Discipline, there has to be, right? None of them skazatted a word or nodded even. I got more razz-drazz inside, karma out. I said, have been in charge long now. We are all droogs, but somebody has to be in charge, right? Right? They all, like, nodded, wary-like. Dim was oosooshing the last of the crovy off. It was Dim who said now, right, right, dooby-doo. A bit tired, maybe, everybody is. Best not to say more. I was surprised, and just that malenky bit poogly to sloosh Dim gover-eating that wise. Dim said, Bedways is right ways now, so best we go home ways, right? I was very surprised. The other two nodded, going, right, right, right. I said, You understand about that Tolchok on the rot, Dim? It was the music, see? I get all bazoomny when any vec interferes with a batitsa singing, as it might be. Like that, then. Best we go off homeways and get a bit of spatchka, said Dim. A long night for growing male chicks, right? Right, right, nodded the other two. I said, I think it's best we go home now. Dim has made a real horror show suggestion. If we don't meet day-wise, oh, my brothers, well, then, same time, same place tomorrow. Oh, yes, said Georgie. I think that can be arranged. I might, said Dim, be just that malenky bit late. But same place and near same time tomorrow, surely. He was still wiping away at his goober, though no crovy flowed any longer now. And, he said, It's to be hoped there won't be no more of them singing petitsas in here. Then he gave his old Dim guff, a big, clowny, big ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. It seemed like he was too Dim to take much offence. So off we went our several ways, me belching on the cold coke I'd peated. I had my cutthroat Britva handy in case any of Billy Boy's droogs should be round near the flat block waiting, or for that matter any of the other banders or groupers or shakers that from time to time were at war with one. Where I lived was with my dadda and mum in the flats of Municipal Flat Block 18A between Kingsley Avenue and Wilson Way. I got to the big main door with no trouble. Though I did pass one young male chick sprawling and creaching and moaning in the gutter, all cut about lovely, and saw in the lamplight also streaks of blood here and there, like signatures, my brothers, of the night's fillying. And two, I saw just by 18A a pair of Dvotchka's nesnies, doubtless rudely wrenched off in the heat of the moment, oh, my brothers. And so, in. In the hallway was the good old municipal painting on the walls. Vex and petitsas very well developed, stern in the dignity of labour, at workbench and machine, with not one stitch of platties on their well-developed plots. But of course, some of the Malchicks living in 18A had, as was to be expected, embellished and decorated the said big painting with handy pencil and ballpoint, adding hair and stiff rods and dirty ballooning slovos out of the dignified rots of these Najoy, bear that is, chinas and vex. I went to the lift, but there was no need to press the electric knopka to see if it was working or not, because it had been toll-chocked real horror show this night, the metal doors all buckled, some feet of rare strength indeed, so I had to walk the 10 floors up. I cursed and panted climbing, being tired in plot, if not so much in brain. I wanted music very bad this evening, that singing Dvotchka in the Korova having perhaps started me off. I wanted like a big feast of it before getting my passport stamped, my brothers, at sleep's frontier, and the stripy chest lifted to let me through. I opened the door of 10-8 with my own little klooch, and inside our Malenki quarters all was quiet, the P and M both being in sleepland, and Mum had laid out on the table my Malenki bit of supper, a couple of lomticks of tinned sponge meat with a shive or so of kleb and butter, a glass of the old cold Maloko. Ho, ho, ho. The old Maloko, with no knives or synthmesk or drencom in it. How wicked, my brothers, innocent milk must always seem to me now. Still, I drank and ate, growling, being more hungry than I thought at first, and I got fruit pie from the larder and tore chunks off it to stuff into my greedy rot. Then I tooth-cleaned and clicked, cleaning out the old rot with my yazzik or tongue. Then I went into my own little room or den, easing off my platties as I did so. Here was my bed and my stereo, pride of my jeezney, and my discs in their cupboard, and banners and flags on the wall, these being like remembrances of my corrective school life since I was 11, oh my brothers, each one shining and blazoned with name or number. South 4, Metro Corskull Blue Division, the boys of Alpha. The little speakers of my stereo were all arranged round the room, on ceilings, walls, floor, so, lying on my bed, slooshying the music, I was like netted and meshed in the orchestra. Now, what I fancied first tonight was this new violin concerto by the American Geoffrey Plautus, played by Odysseus Carrillos with the Mason Georgia Philharmonic. So I slid it from where it was neatly filed and switched on and waited. Then, brothers, it came. Oh, bliss, bliss and heaven. I lay all Najoy to the ceiling, my Gulliver on my rookers on the pillow, glazies closed, rot open in bliss, slooshing the sluice of lovely sounds. Oh, it was gorgeousness and gorgiosity made flesh. The trombones crunched red gold under my bed, and behind my Gulliver the trumpets three wise silver flamed, and there by the door the timps rolling through my guts and out again crunched like candy thunder. Oh, it was wonder of wonders. And then a bird of like rarest spun heaven metal, or like silvery wine flowing in a spaceship, gravity all nonsense now, came the violin solo above all the other strings, and those strings were like a cage of silk round my bed. Then flute and oboe bored like worms of like platinum into the thick, thick toffee gold and silver. I was in such bliss, my brothers. P and M, in their bedroom next door, had learnt now not to knock on the wall with complaints of what they called noise. I had taught them. Now they would take sleep pills. Perhaps, knowing the joy I had in my night music, they had already taken them. As I slooshied, my glazies tight shut to shut in the bliss that was better than any synthmesk bog or god, I knew such lovely pictures. There were Vex and Petitzas, both young and starry, lying on the ground, screaming for mercy, and I was smacking all over my rot and grinding my boot in their litzos. And there were Dvotchkas, ripped and creaching against walls, and I plunging like a schlager into them. And indeed, when the music, which was one movement only, rose to the top of its big highest tower, then, lying there on my bed with glazies tight shut and rookers behind my Gulliver, I broke and spattered and cried, "Ah!" with the bliss of it. And so the lovely music, glided to its glowing close. After that, I had lovely Mozart, the Jupiter, and there were new pictures of different litzos to be ground and splashed, and it was after this that I thought I would have just one last disc only before crossing the border, and I wanted something starry and strong and very firm. So it was J.S. Bach I had, the Brandenburg Concerto, just for middle and lower strings. And sluicing with different bliss than before, I vidded again this name on the paper I'd razz-read that night, a long time ago, it seemed, in that cottage called Home. The name was about a clockwork orange. Listening to the J.S. Bach, I began to pony better what that meant now. And I thought, sluicing away to the brown gorgeousness of the starry German master, that I would like to have Tolchok them both harder and rip them to ribbons on their own floor.